Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
We'll go check, Nivo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, and joining me on this Monday after Thanksgiving through the holiday fog, we have one of my favorites, Danny Murphy.
Oh, hello. Hi Dylan. Oh my God, this is always so much fun. This is what I needed after Thanksgiving haze and just like eating so much. Yeah.
I obviously put like so much thought and, you know, care into every single one of my guest slots, and I was thinking like, okay, Monday after Thanksgiving, I don't want to be like interviewing someone. No. I don't want to be like figuring out the dynamic with somebody I've never met before. I'm like, Danny will show up, we can talk about Potomac, we can talk about whatever other mess is going on, and it'll just be nice and easy.
It's delightful. So
please make it nice and easy, okay?
I'm making it nice. I'm not showered. I don't know if Dorinda would consider that making it nice or not, but it will be easy.
As long as you're not eating in bed, which, oops.
Which like, I did do earlier. I'm like, lady, everyone deals with depression differently. Dorinda does aerobics, I do Doritos in bed. Shout out to every method.
And I love that for you. So we're coming off of Thanksgiving. I hope everyone listening had a great Thanksgiving. And for about 350 people, their Thanksgiving weekend was spent at Portia and Simon's wedding. I'm curious, before we talk about the specifics of this wedding, which was seemingly quite extravagant.
Yeah.
How do you feel about a Thanksgiving weekend wedding?
Can I tell you? I like it more than a New Year's Eve wedding. Mm. I like it more because it's one of those holidays where you're almost kind of like this, the weekend of Thanksgiving, because it's just the one dinner. And then you're just confused and kind of like vegging back. You're getting into like, I don't even know who I am. So I think I would have enjoyed having something to brush my hair for. So I think I kind of like it in that regard, but it is a bitch for traveling, and I'm kind of against holiday weddings, but it's not the worst holiday to pick.
I think I agree. Like, if you had your wedding on the Wednesday night of Thanksgiving, you're an asshole, but to have it like the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I feel like is fine.
And
it doesn't feel disrespectful to people's holiday time.
If any, it's kind of like a gift, because some people are like, oh my God, I would stay until Monday, but I got Porsche. I'm riding Porsche. We're talking. I gotta go to Porsche's. I'm so sorry.
Sadly,
fam.
I cannot sit and listen to my father talk about fill in the blank subject I don't care about, because I have to go to Atlanta for this wedding, where Nini's gonna be wearing a dress that fully just shows her nipples.
I was like, wait, what? Because when people were like, this is what she wore to the wedding, I was like, no, it's not. I was like, this is just this is like her like leaving a hotel or something like that. I was like, oh, it is. I mean, she looked good, but it was bold.
She looked damn good, but the thing is, I think there's a difference in like normal person glam versus like I am a celebrity that's been on a TV show glam.
Yes.
But when you're at somebody else's wedding, I do feel like there is kind of this like set of made up parameters that it's like, maybe I'm not showing my nipples at your wedding.
Because could you imagine someone wearing that in like for a normal person's wedding. I would probably, even if I wasn't involved in the wedding, I'd be like, you might have to leave. Or I'd be like
my nana is going to be, have questions.
Oh, nips with Nana? That's not the nip she wants. She wants the tiny Jack Daniels in a corner.
The candy nips, like those coffee flavored.
Oh.
My grandma used to fucking love those.
Or whatever?
No, there's a brand called Nips.
Oh, is there?
They're literal like caramel hard candies. And my grandma would always eat them, and my sister and I would like figure out where the box was, and we would take them like fistfuls at a time.
You know where my brain is going? I want to put one of those in a chocolate chip cookie and put it in the microwave for 30 seconds and see what happens.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
That's just where I'm at.
Before we get too far down the path of talking about candy, let's go over who else was at this wedding. Kim Zolciak Bierman was there.
Okay.
It was probably nice for her to, you know, be in a place with like heating for the night, because I don't know what the situation is at that house.
And, you know, away from her son and her hoe daughter, as Portia once said.
Her injured son and hoe daughter. So Kim was there. Nene was there. Obviously, Candy was in attendance. Candy Cynthia, Drew Sidora, Manietta was there. Quad Webb was there.
Oh, wow.
And also, as for Portia's ultimate girls trip castmates, Marisol and Alexia were there. I haven't seen anybody else from that girls trip season post.
Was Giselle there?
She might have been. There were a lot of Instagram stories and stuff that I was frankly not watching over the weekend.
I think I saw her there, and everyone, of course, was kind of making a little fun of her outfit, which
of course
is kind of just part of the course.
Giselle was at Cynthia's wedding to Mike a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So that would, I think she knows a lot of those women.
She gets it.
And
she gets it.
They
yeah.
did go on girls trip together. But yeah, I'm happy for Portia and Simon. Portia looked stunning in all the photos.
It made me miss her on Atlanta. I know she looked really good.
The fact that she had like half a dozen Atlanta housewives at her mm-hmm. wedding. I know they're not all current Atlanta housewives, so it's not like she's friends with the whole cast currently, but like, she still is around in that sphere. And I feel like I'm really curious to see how she comes out of this season of Ultimate Girls Trip, because she left Housewives in kind of a weird place. Her spinoff was weird.
Oh my God, the spinoff made me, I was just like, I don't think there were
wasn't a great look for her. Didn't go great. Made people root for Dennis of all people. And then,
I know.
Now that she's on Girls Trip, it feels like kind of a wild card. She wasn't at BravoCon.
Oh, right.
And so it's like, I could see this going really well for her, but also I could see it being kind of like the last time we see her on Bravo.
Oh.
If, you know, who knows?
And especially because she was a last minute addition to Girls Trip. And I feel like the only thing that really from the trailer from that was just her and Leah going, bye, Portia. Bye, Leah.
Bye, Leah.
Which didn't make me laugh. But I know I'm kind of curious. Maybe also, she's been doing this for so long. She could be a little done with it.
That's true. And I think the thing with her and Simon, at least what we're getting from the outside, because we really have not seen inside of their life mm-hmm. together, is there's kind of a sense of Simon is this successful, powerful man, I guess. I don't, whatever. And she is kind of like his, you know, they're together and they are, it seems like kind of like protecting their peace
their
a
unit.
Little bit.
Yeah, which is probably the smartest thing to do for a couple.
Yeah, and whether or not that has anything to do with like his real career or his reputation or anything like that, I feel like sometimes that's a little bit blown out of proportion. But if that's what they're valuing, then I get it. And like, I mean, clearly he's been through some drama in terms of his relationship stuff.
Yeah.
In the last couple years too. So I don't necessarily blame them if they're like housewives isn't the best.
They don't want a cookie lady to come for them.
Oh my God.
One of my favorites. I like need her to, I need her to be an Ultimate Girls Trip.
Not the cookie lady.
I loved her.
Oh my God. That season of Atlanta feels like a fever dream, but the cookie lady thing was extremely entertaining to me.
And like that moment of just Kenya ripping. Going in, then like, I'll do the salmon, thank you so much. Oh, the cookie thing's here. It's top tier. It's top tier.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Before we get into Potomac, one last little order of business. I saw Sutton Strack posted a photo with Tinsley Mortimer this morning that they ran into each other because apparently now Tinsley is living in Augusta, Georgia, which is Sutton's hometown.
Yeah.
And so they just like saw each other on the golf course, as you do. And
classic.
It has implanted in me this idea for like a Southern ladies season of Girls Trip. Ooh. Of like Tinsley, Sutton, Erica, Phaedra, a couple of Dallas girlies.
Wouldn't
that be really interesting?
Wait, I want that because maybe I feel like I didn't realize how hot a take this was, but like the love I have for Tinsley, she is my daughter. She's like my daughter and my sister and my mother. Like, I love her so much and I just want the best for her. So I would like her to be with a Sutton guiding light in a Southern moment while she's still maybe working out this contract to be on the Roni Legacy.
I know. The biggest like thing that popped up in my mind, if Sutton says she's living in Augusta, then maybe Roni Legacy is not in the cards. But I'm like, are you living there with a mystery man? Did this just seem like a place you wanted to check out for a while?
My favorite thing about Tins, she never had an address in New York. Babe was just she was just in the lobby.
She was either staying at Sonia's or living in a hotel.
So she's like, oh honey, that's not the issue. She's just looking for that right contract.
Right. And somebody, I did see somebody comment on that post. They're like, oh, Tinsley's in Augusta. Like, she must have found a man with money. I'm like, Tinsley doesn't need a man with money.
No, Tinsley is the man with money. She's Cher to a degree.
I walked past the Big Apple Circus tent over the weekend, and I just will never not think of Tinsley.
The joy that broken woman has given us all. Like, but I'm happy that her and Sutton, I feel like her and Sutton could be a really good dynamic duo.
Going back, they probably were like at the Met Gala together 10 years ago. If I'm thinking realistically, because back when Tinsley was kind of in her peak socialite topper era, that was when Sutton was also on that kind of circuit. And we know they both went to the Met Gala multiple times, I think. So like, I don't think yesterday was like the first time they met in Augusta. Yeah. But
Tinsley's like, you know that bitch Olivia Palermo? Sutton's like, what?
Sutton's like, I don't know. I've been busy.
She's like, is that the Culpa sisters on TLC? No, the a Culpa different Olivia. Sisters. I literally was like, what is going on? Anyway.
Not the Culpo sisters. God, if they ever make it to Bravo, we know we're in trouble.
That would be all. Don't book me on that Monday episode of the Culpa sister recap.
Have you watched that show? Does anything happen?
I watched a minute of it on Instagram, literally because against my will. And the drama was Olivia like locked herself in her closet. And I was just like, What's happening here?
Wasn't that literally a joke on an SNL sketch of fake E! Shows from years ago where it was like Kendall Jenner locks herself in her closet?
No, like literally. And they're like, no, this is gold. They're also like, they're so pretty, so boring. Like, I'm like, they just shouldn't be a show.
Well, I do think the thing with talking about Bravo so much is sometimes people assume that any reality show, especially any reality show about like pretty rich women, is your cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I have to tell people, I'm like, it is a very specific vibe of housewives, housewives adjacent shows. There's like Vanderpump, Summer House, Southern Charm, but it's like, I am not out here watching any miscellaneous reality show that is served to me by an algorithm. Like, first of all, I don't have time. Yeah. But also, there is a standard. There's a level. There's a playing field. And I mean, unless they want to be an advertiser, which I don't think has happened yet. The Culpo sisters on TLC hasn't yet risen to that level, at least from what I know.
And I know they've been trying to sell that show since I think 2016, so they found a slot.
Good for them. But I'm surprised it wasn't on like Facebook Watch. Wait,
honestly. No, I watched it on Periscope. They're actually thriving.
Not Periscope, but YouTube Red original.
Well, they actually get Emmy noms, YouTube Red. So shout out, or like whatever the Estefans and the Jada's Red Table Talk is on. But I know when I'm on TLC, I'm watching Pimple Popper. And if I'm on Lifetime, I'm watching Kay Michelle's My Killer Body, which is top tier television.
I'm watching neither of those, but I respect that journey for you. Without further ado, let's actually talk about something that is on the level.
Oh,
on the top tier, and that is Real Housewives of Potomac. We start this episode still on night one of this Miami trip, which it feels shocking.
It's tiring.
It is. So we're in the aftermath of this physicality that has gone down between Wendy and Mia. And we've kind of retreated to our separate corners. I'm curious, before we get into everything that happens in this episode, where are you approaching this discussion from coming off of last week?
I am approaching... It's hard because I am almost like I have people I like on both of the teams, because I'm like, Mia, I don't love what you did. And I love it's and like Wendy lost me last season. I think I'm getting back to Wendy this season. Candace, I love forever. Karen, I love forever. And I love the Green Eyed Bandit. I actually love all of them, which is hard. But Mia just kind of really pushed me. So I think Mia should just apologize, but I know she won't. Mm-hmm. And I think the other ladies have to like be more vocal to own up to like, okay, this was a bad situation. Cause like they're saying it to Mia, but they're not saying it to Wendy. And I think that's where a lot of the issues are stemming from. Cause if everyone's just in the circle together being like, okay, that was fucked up, they could try to move on, but chaos is ensuing.
Yeah. I think for me, I enjoy Mia's kind of general sense of delusion.
Oh, love that.
And her kind of wishy-washiness, and she'll go any way the wind blows, whatever. But I think the tough thing about watching these last couple of episodes is that when it comes to a situation like this where she was so objectively in the wrong to throw the drink and then to sort of try to get physical after that, regardless of what Wendy said, which also not good.
Yeah.
But it's like, watching Mia kind of live in that place of being so unwilling to admit that she played a big part. And not just that she thinks she was right, but that she is so, so staunch in her view that these women, specifically Ashley and Karen, should be riding for her blindly. 100%.
Yeah.
And not showing Wendy an ounce of concern, an ounce of kindness, when Wendy spends most of this episode seemingly like in hiding at a third party hotel
and crying
that we don't really even see. And she gets to go to one like strip mall lunch.
Oh, yeah. When they sat down, I was like, what is happening here?
When they pulled up, I'm like, wait, is this her hotel? And I'm like, no, it's the restaurant. I feel like that had to be a thing of the producers are scrambling. Oh. Wendy left the house. They're going to have to do a lunch. And we had not planned for this. What restaurant in the city of Miami will allow us to show up with cameras? And it's like, it is in a strip mall.
And I mean, I've never been to Miami. I Google mapped where this was. It's not on the beach. It's staunchly in the center of just like the area. So it's not like a fun little getaway vibe. And it also made me interested because I was like, I've never seen Karen order a Stella, like a beer, which made me think this menu was not on her ideal list of anything to sip. Because I was like, what is Stella? What is Karen having a beer for?
Right. When they're like, oh, you should get a mojito. That's not a craft cocktail.
No. But you know what? Oh, actually, to get going into this too, I am worried for Wendy, though, because that Johns Hopkins not affiliated thing. I'm like, is this fight going to mess up like her other gigs that like she kind of like really likes and enjoys, like the Johns Hopkins, like the MSNBC stuff? Like, because I already was a little like, oh, this is interesting being like a housewife doing that stuff. I mean, I would take her class in a second, but like, people being confused about that. But then when they did that, I was like, I hope this didn't just like cost her professing gig.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw people kind of debating that last week about whether or not that was something where Johns Hopkins had asked for that clarification to be made, or whether that was like an NBCU cover your ass kind of moment, or whether it was just kind of like a wink from the editors of being like, LOL, we don't know about any of this.
So
it's tough to know. I don't really think it's the latter. I have a feeling it was more of like NBC being like, this is not like a verified statistic that she said about being the youngest, whatever, professor.
That's true. That makes sense.
But either way, I mean, I agree that I've always thought on this show that it's kind of surprising that like, an institution like Johns Hopkins is just like, yeah, go to Portugal.
Go do
yell,
it.
Do whatever. Yeah. Not that they can really like stop reprimand her. You for whatever. But yeah, I mean, it does seem like a little bit of a touchy thing. And I mean, we just saw Whitney Rose's husband lose his job over some bullshit on Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, oh my God, Wendy, because I want Wendy to go back to like showing more of that on the show. I'm like, I don't want you to light a candle. I don't need you to do Peter thing. I want you to be like in your office with your baby talking about like really interesting new stuff that makes me sad, but makes me like, oh my God, this is really cool that she's doing this.
I know. And I think that was when she came on the show, like you were saying that you're kind of coming back around on her. And I think when she came on the show, it was such a breath of fresh air and she was so different than anybody we had seen on any franchise, let alone Potomac. And it seemed like in the last couple seasons, she was almost trying to mold herself more into the standard Real Housewife image.
Yeah.
And I like to see her kind of pushing the boundaries of what a successful woman on this show looks like.
Yeah.
And not in the way of like, look, I can do a candle. It's like, I mean, do what you want to do, of course, but you don't have to do a candle.
You don't have to, and you don't have to go to Karen for business advice. I mean, Karen does have a business, but it's like, Wendy, I'm sure you have connections. Like, you know people that could be really interesting. Also, do you even want to do this? I don't think, like, I think you were in such a great lane paving that, and it could have been really interesting. Yeah. So I hope she starts to pivot back to that. I hope I don't see Patricia Peter for some time now. I feel we won't be seeing him again, but.
Yay.
I feel like I don't know if we'll see him again, but I'm sure his presence will be reverberating through the season.
Yes.
Because, you know, Wendy's kind of teasing that there was this information that Mia didn't want them to know, which I feel like it's almost like we don't even know enough now to really get into it. I feel like that's going to be coming down the pipeline.
Yeah. I mean, I have my theories, but I know we don't know a lot about it now.
Exactly.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Refocusing a little bit on this trip as a whole, I love the fact that we are treating this like it is Karen's birthday trip, when 2 weeks ago I could have sworn that Mia was planning the trip and then Karen was like, you know, that's my birthday, right? And Mia was like, yeah, girl, we'll do it up for your birthday. And it's like, that's different than a birthday trip.
That is so different. That's the difference between like, okay, it's a themed weekend for you and, oh, we'll do dinner.
And we'll do dinner. And then backtracking later when Karen says that Mia did a shitty job with her birthday plans, Mia's like, well, the beach was your birthday party and we had the cabana and all of that. And when Karen says, I got me a cake and a candle, God is good. I don't need a party.
I love the amount of times Karen has just been saying God is good this trip. Her Matrix bill, she got her candle. I also wouldn't consider those cabanas. I would say those are lounge chairs with a big top. Cabana to me reads differently.
Cabana is like we're at a pool and there is like a little, almost like a private area.
Do you know what I mean? Yes.
Like you're sitting inside of something, not just with like an umbrella over you.
I'm in the shade fully. Yes. And I think that's why these girls were getting wasted, because they're like, okay, we're sharing beach chairs. Okay, give me some tequila.
There is something a little bit bootleg about this whole Miami trip. And while Mia claims to be paying for the house, I just from what I know of housewives trips, that seems unlikely because Bravo, like, she's not. But I do feel like Potomac is like, what's the budget? Where's the budget? Like, could we not go to an actual beach club? Could we not stay in a house that's not in a neighborhood? Like, I don't know. I wonder about these things because I feel like everybody is on the same page that Potomac is so good and should be such a crown jewel franchise.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that the cabana that Bravo offered to pay for?
That's interesting. Because I was like, oh, maybe like, I was like, Miami can't be hard to find places to film because they literally do a Housewives of Miami show where they go to lavish places on that show. So it's kind of like, or at least nicer than Versailles in the middle of Miami. So I'm kind of like, they couldn't even just like repeat some of those spots for it.
Right. Like if I were Mia planning this trip, well, Mia, quote unquote, planning this trip, I'm like, can you not call up like Lisa Hochstein and be like, what's your favorite spot?
Or like, hi, Nicole, I know your house just sold. Can we chill there while they're packing it up?
Can we squat in your Architectural Digest masterpiece of a home?
The fucking nicest home. She'd be like, yeah, here's the PJ.
It is kind of it's a different look for Candace to be arriving late on this trip and for her to be in the position of being distraught at the other women's drama and her being like, I just wanted to have a fun trip. What the fuck happened? And she's crying about Wendy not being there with them. I felt like this episode kind of showed us a different side of Candace that I was happy to see.
I know. It was really refreshing to see because I think she kind of is really trying to let shit go as best as she can and just kind of be like, okay, I'm on this fucking show. Let me just kind of like carry on. She's doing all the IVF stuff too. Like really has so much going on. I think there's going to be like, her weekend, I think she wanted to go be like, I'm doing a track with Trina. I want to have a nice like cocktail. I want to party in Miami. And it's going for that. And it also made me really realize how much she, because I feel she hasn't had a friend who hasn't like turned on her in a minute. So it made me really happy to see like how much she rides for Wendy. And it's kind of like, okay, I know you're in my corner and you've proven to be in my corner for a little bit. So now we are in this corner together.
Well, and also, like you said, like she's kind of trying to turn over a new leaf or whatever. Yeah. The way that she and Ashley have kind of been working through their stuff, because we saw a few weeks ago, Ashley went over to Candace's house for the first time. They seemed to be in a better place. Yeah. And then things kind of backtracked at Wendy's burn session or whatever it was called at that winery. But then we see when Candace shows up in Miami, there's kind of this bigger thing going on that they feel like they need to deal with. And so to see Ashley and Candace and Karen banding together to go check on Wendy and to have lunch with her, I liked that Ashley and Candace could just be okay in that moment. And it didn't feel like there was some big thing, big elephant in the room. Like, it was just like, no, things are fine for now. And that, to me, is so much growth for the two of them.
Well, the Coming Attraction showed that that growth kind of stopped.
I mean, it comes and it goes.
It comes and it goes. Well, that's what I love, because Ashley is just, I feel like Candace is still trying to learn how to have this relationship with Ashley, where it's kind of like, you all have those friends, it's like, can't tell them shit because they're going to tell everybody. So they could just kind of have, like, Candace could open up more. Maybe she's realizing she could talk more about, like, the struggle she's going through, but she can't throw any shade at any of the ladies because Ash is going to come out and say that, and then there's going to be a boom speaker. Which did make me realize, oh, Robin is iconic, even though this episode, there was not a lot of green-eyed bandits.
I mean, this whole Mia and Wendy thing kind of has the green-eyed bandits in a tough spot, because their dislike of Wendy in this moment is bumping up against their past statements about how they feel about physicality and all of this stuff. And so it really is, I think, for Robin more than Giselle, but for both of them, it's kind of a tough look. And I know Robin specifically has been getting criticized a lot on social media in the last couple episodes for how she was kind of gleefully filming what was happening at the dinner. Yeah. And then, you know, she's acting. I think there's a lot of, from Robin especially, acting like she is in the middle ground here. Mm-hmm. But then the second somebody says something in support of Wendy, she's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, and even the producer is like, you would agree that you are more on Mia's side in this. And she's like, well, I don't like Wendy. And it's like,
that kind of just summed it up.
Exactly. So I think that's kind of the crux of the problem, is that it's like, you are allowed to like or dislike whoever you want. But if you have set these kind of strict boundaries of how you feel about certain behaviors, you need to stand by your man. Yeah, you need to like stay in those, in that lane, and not just abandon that because all of a sudden the girl you don't like was on the receiving end of it. It's like,
I think it's also the hard thing too, because like you said, Robin's getting a lot more hate than Giselle, because I feel Giselle, we just know her by now. She just likes to follow the mess where it goes and is not a flip flopper, but she's more so just like, oh, this is kind of funny to talk about. And then, like, if Wendy sat down Giselle and was like, oh, I really, hey, did that? Giselle would be like, oh, I did do that. Versus Robbins feels a little more like she's getting, not payback, but kind of like, oh, I've been sitting on how Wendy came for my relationship last season, so I'm not going to let her win no matter what. And that's when, like, she's kind of going, not giving an ultimatum, but kind of giving, like, in a filming situation, she'll never see Wendy's point, never do anything. And that's when you start to kind of be like, oh, you're painting yourself into not a good light.
Right. And it feels like we have Karen and Ashley are really struggling with Mia's kind of expectation that you should be a ride or die no matter what. And I think that is a really relatable thing that Karen and Ashley are pushing up against, that it's like, we all have that one friend who's like, you're supposed to just agree with whatever I say, even if I sound crazy or even if I'm being a bitch or whatever. And Karen, I think, it's really relatable to watch her kind of be like, Mia, I love you, but I'm not going to just pretend that I don't give a shit about Wendy or that I don't think you both did something wrong. Whereas contrast that to Robin, who sort of is giving Mia
the full
what
slate
she wants. Mm-hmm. And I think in this situation, for most of the viewers, we see that it's complex enough that to just be fully, you know, ride or die team Mia is like, what are you doing?
Well, also Mia's on a ride share. She's Ubering left and right, because before she was all Charisse. And then before dinner, she was like, Karen, you know what? I'm on your side now. And it's like kind of like, so you have no allegiances, but you want everyone to be aligned with you. And then when she was saying to Karen, it's like, I would blindly defend Jacqueline or something like that. It's like, okay, that's not a good quality.
Right. And when, you know, Mia's saying that she would expect the same whatever from Karen that she would give her. And Karen's like, well, you invited Charisse to my birthday trip, which again, it's not really her birthday trip, but okay. So that was something where she didn't really take Karen's feelings into mind. But then the next day Mia's doing the exact opposite, where mm-hmm. Karen is like, it's for my birthday, I would like everyone to be there, can I please invite Wendy to the beach? And Mia's like, absolutely not, no, this is my trip. And it's like, where is the line? The line is clearly moving,
yeah,
based on how you feel in the moment. And I mean, speaking of changing your mind about things, when she, you know, hops in the car with Ashley and Candace and is like, find a new place to stay.
I was like, oh, I heard that wrong. I literally was like, wait, Mia is off. I don't even know what she's operating on right now, because that was so insane. And I like it, even Ashley and Candace like, wait, what did you just, what was just said to us?
It was so wild. And then obviously, all it takes is like 2 hours and people telling her that it was wild, because after Ashley sends her her block of text to the group chat.
You know Ashley's going through a divorce because she had that jargon down. She has her legal jargon down pat.
Revoke it. Threaten them about revoking their accommodation. It's like, that's some legalese about being able to stay in the house. But then it's like the second anybody actually talks to Mia about that, you know, even Giselle is like, girl, that's a lot to kick him out the house. And then Charisse sends this text, like, pretending to be Mia's assistant, immediately backtracking. It's like, see you ladies at the house, let's have fun, smooches. It's like, Mia looks dumb in that moment, because she's making these grandiose choices where she's like, this is my house, you decided to care about Wendy, so that means you don't care about me. So because it's my trip and my house that I'm quote unquote paying for, you can get the fuck out. And then literally 2 hours later, she hasn't even seen these girls yet, she's like, okay, you could come back to the house. And it's like, that makes you look worse than if you had just not said it in the first place.
She just is constantly exploding and also keeps on trying to like be like, oh, well, it's hard. It's like my defense mechanism, which like is so real and probably very valid. But also like when you're 38, you're 38 and you kind of have to learn, like you got to take some onus on yourself. So she just is not, I don't think she ever expects to face any consequences from these ladies. And I think she's used to people like Jacqueline, who always is kind of on her side. But I'm feeling is kind of starting to vary a little bit. I'm starting to be like, okay, Jacqueline is getting this much screen time for a reason. I sense an explosion happening. But I think she's kind of realizing, oh, not everyone is still just blindly defending me no matter what. And I think she's mixing that up because Robin and Giselle did that so much for her with Wendy, because I don't really like Wendy. Mm-hmm. But they like Ashley and Karen and Candace, they're right. Pretty fine with, yeah.
Right. I think that's like, it is like they like Mia mm-hmm. more than they like Wendy. So when that's the only decision that's happening, they're like, great, team Mia. But they don't want half the group to get sent home from the trip because Mia's feeling too big for her britches.
I also think they're OGs, Robin and Giselle. I think they even know in real time how the scenes are playing out. They're like, oh, this beach scene is pretty boring. And I was just like, what is happening here? So they know they want to keep the show going, I would assume, to have everybody mixed together.
Right. And I think exactly. And I do think that there is, they maybe have a blind spot when it comes to the Wendy and Mia mm-hmm. situation specifically, but they're not blind to the overall dynamics of the cast and of the trip. And that mm-hmm. if you banish two or three of the women, it's not going to, that doesn't make the show better. That makes it weird and stunted. And even just this episode, the fact that Wendy is essentially not there for the whole episode, aside from these little side scenes, it's like, right. And that has kind of ground the group to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
And it feels like next week we're going to kind of like jumpstart it again. And
I loved her doing a Jill Zarin. Hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
Speaking of the iconic greetings, I love that when Candace shows up to the place with Trina, we get a Candace, hello, which I don't think we've heard in a while and is one of my favorite things that she does.
The way I love her. Oh, talking about someone I did a full 180 on, because I used to be like, Candace, what is going on here? But now I'm like, oh, I want to drive back. And that new song is great.
It is. It's good.
It is good. And I love, and that's what, oh, but that was the thing, because it was a really cute scene, her and Wendy just like supporting each other and then them doing mm-hmm. the little slither together. And I was like, that's cute. So I like when we need the group to kind of just like freshen up to the dynamics, because I think what we always loved about Potomac is that they're just like such a fun franchise. And like they would even like be really, even when they would be really shady and have their drama, they always could kind of have like a laughing ground of it. And I think Mia is kind of ruining that laughing ground of it.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see, like you said, Jacqueline is
right
around a lot. Obviously, she's on the trip, but she's getting a lot of screen time. And we're seeing these kind of one-on-one moments of her and Mia. And it feels like there is kind of a push between Jacqueline knowing that she is there as Mia's friend and knowing that that is kind of her place,
her role. Yeah,
her role. But then also there are clearly some times when they aren't quite gelling with each other, when Mia is maybe taking advantage of Jacqueline or kind of being rude to her, treating her poorly, the whole thing with the deodorant, and she's like, sorry bitch, you're gonna stink. And
I'm just like, what?
It just feels like Jacqueline is kind of maybe, I mean, we'll see. We don't know enough about her to really know whether anything is going to come of this, but it feels like she could be kind of like a ticking time bomb.
Well, that's the thing, because do you remember at the Karen's taco party, spring renewal party, it said Mia's best friend in quotes at first.
Oh.
And what my hunch is, this is based on no inside knowledge, literally. I just had this thought while we were talking. I wonder if Jacqueline will meet up with like Wendy or someone, and that's when Wendy will unearth the rumor she's heard about Peter and Mia and everything, and Jacqueline will be like, yeah, that's true. I could see that. That's
would be interesting.
That's
I don't
what
know.
I'm sensing.
I do think there was something so funny about the way at the very end of the episode, after Mia and Karen had their last kind of tete-a-tete, when Karen leaves the room and Jacqueline just goes, so you guys aren't friends anymore. It's like, okay, thanks for the
Don,
thanks for the narration, Jacqueline. We will see you next week.
She's gunning for that, like, yeah, like those, like, yeah, she's doing some voiceover roles for narration for documentaries now. She's like, and they were no longer friends.
It's like in that moment Mia realized that Karen did not have her back.
I think they need to leave Miami because I need them to get back to some reality and I need them to be all together. I don't really know where I see Mia and Wendy going in upcoming episodes, though. I can't see resolution.
But also it's like, do we need resolution? Like, I don't know if I care enough. Like, they don't have some iconic friendship that we're trying to repair.
Well, that's also kind of like for a while until Robin started to get a little bit too messy with the Wendy thing. I kind of respected where she was like, me and Wendy just aren't friends, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I respect that they're not trying. We're not trying to build anything here,
right?
Or rehash, because they never really were friends. They're just gonna
right now. It feels more in the like active sabotage direction, though, and it's like, what is the motivation here?
That's the thing. Yeah.
Also, last thing, did you see? Rumor has it that Monique and Chris are not returning to Love and Marriage DC for the second season. What's that about?
I saw that, and that makes more sense because didn't Candace's tweet, like, the threat of the unemployment line has these people's voices talking or something? And I was like, Candace, and she's the one reason I want Twitter to stay.
Just seeing a tweet, opening up Twitter and seeing a tweet from Candace that's just tee hee 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 hee. I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? Something's out there in the universe.
Yes, yes. Something is going down in DC.
Oh my God. I mean, if they couldn't stay on that show for a second season, they were literally the centerpiece of the cast. So, I have questions.
Especially because then the whole, were they divorcing, but they're back together. But Ashley said, I think they're just taking some time. Oop. Some things are going down there.
I don't know. Not my business.
I'm sure she'll have some essential oils that heal marriages. So
Oh my God. Danny, this has been just the pleasure that I hoped it would be on the morning after Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh my God. Always.
And I am so excited. I am going to be seeing you next week. You have an exciting event coming up. Please tell us all about it.
Yes. Oh my God. So I'm so excited. Me and Evan from Page Six, we're doing a live podcast at City Winery Loft. It's the main stage is where Seth Meyers is. We're at the Loft. So don't go to the main stage. Come to the Loft on December 5th at 7:30. We're doing virtual reality, our podcast live with Margaret Josephs, Jackie from Jersey, Amrit from Family Karma. There's a special Salt Lake City guest. No one being charged with anything. I will clear that up. I don't want to be swarmed when we're there. I don't want the Fed showing up. But no. A special guest from Salt Lake City, who's I'm very excited about. We're going to announce her this week. And it's just going to be a great holiday, shady time. And Dylan's going to be in audience. Sarah from Andy's Girls is going to be there.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's going to be like a whole kit and caboodle. It's the perfect kickoff for December, I feel.
I'm so excited. I feel like I have so many random holiday plans and I'm like, wow, something I'm actually excited for.
I know. I looked at my calendar. I was like, why am I doing things in December?
No, it's too. I can't. But Danny, this has been just so lovely. Thank you. Thank you as always for joining, and you're welcome back anytime.
Any single time. Yes. Thank you so much.
Amazing. And thank you everyone for listening. Like I said, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We have some exciting stuff coming up this week. Tomorrow, I have an interview with Leva Bonaparte. We talked about Southern Hospitality, which premieres tonight on Bravo. The premiere is really good. I'm excited to watch it.
Ooh.
It's giving Vanderpump energy. Like chaos, drama, good characters, good storylines. Oh, I'm into it. Great interview with her tomorrow, so make sure you are following the show so you don't miss that. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Betches.